Welcome to Season 4 of E-Commerce Fastlane. This podcast helps resilient entrepreneurs thrive with Shopify. And now, on to episode 212.
You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company. Powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder, and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
You know something? Accidents can happen to your Shopify store. Maybe you installed an app and it messed up your theme, or a store collaborator deleted product images by mistake. The common myth is that Shopify has a backup that you can use when something goes wrong. The truth is, they don't. So what do? You use Rewind to protect your store with automated backups. The Rewind app should be the first thing you install to protect your store against human error, misbehaving apps, or even collaborators gone bad. It's honestly like having your very own magic undo button. And it's trusted by over 100,000 businesses, from side hustles to the biggest online retailers like Gatorade and Movement Watches. It's even a Shopify Plus certified app partner, which means it has the reliability, security, and privacy you need to protect your brand. Install the Rewind app today and respond to any of their welcome emails and mention the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast, and you'll get your first month absolutely free. Enjoy peace of mind with Rewind Backups. Find it in the Shopify App Store or by visiting rewind.com. Well, hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. Now, if you're an ambitious, lifelong learner, which you probably are since you're here today, you're definitely in the right place. Now, new episodes are available twice weekly with your favorite podcast players like Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and many more. You can also stream current episodes, including a very relevant back catalog. I think we're up to 220 so episodes. So there's a lot of great partners in the Shopify ecosystem, a lot of problems that these partners are solving for brands. And in today's episode, we're going to find a lot of top of funnel kind of net new visitors. How do we get new customers to our store? And I think that's a big challenge for a lot of brands with acquisition costs rising and iOS 14, which we might talk about, or iOS 15. I got 15.1 updated today on my phone, and opens are dead and all this craziness. So I'm excited to interview Meredith and Ben, and the company that they founded is called Bidyco. It's Bidyco. And what they are is a creative-driven performance marketing agency. They help these direct-to-consumer brands, mostly on Shopify, and they really help to sustainably scale their paid traffic. So I'm hoping it's going to be a great conversation with a ton of learnings. Make sure you listen through to the end also to get access to some really good swipe files about some inspiration of different types of ad creative and things that they've done in the past with others that might help you, and or you may even want to hire them. So hi, Meredith and Ben. Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks
for having us.
So this is exciting, having two people on the show at the same time. There's always an interesting dynamic. You never know who's going to speak next. But I think for the most part, you guys, you know, both know your stuff and being founders of the company. So feel free to jump in at any time and just add further color or context kind of as we go. I've kind of prepared a few questions. I'm sure it might go off on a few tangents here and there. But usually the first question I kind of dig into right away is just talking more on a high level about what Bidyco does. Like, how are you assisting Shopify brands with growth marketing, like let's say through social media?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, brands are going through, you know, certainly a lot right now. Ad costs have been rising. Tracking is becoming, you know, more opaque. So it's really becoming, you know, harder and harder than ever for these brands to profitably acquire customers. We kind of help in and jump in and help out is fully managing, you know, their ad campaigns and really becoming that team to fully watch their acquisition efforts from Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Pinterest, TikTok, all the main social platforms, as well as Google, and, you know, running creative targeting, testing everything there. And then there's some brands, you know, they're bigger, they have full internal performance teams. So they don't, you know, want an agency running their media, but they have a lot of creative bottlenecks and don't know exactly what to test creatively. So in those cases, you know, we'll just constantly be giving them new creative to test.
I see. And so a part of that is the fact that you actually create the creative. So it's not just graphics and just, you know, a bunch of text and different things. This is actual getting a hold of the products and doing like a photo shoot or doing video or motion graphics. You do a lot of different kind of creative like that?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I think we have a really, really wide range of creative services that we offer when it comes to social ads. I would say like our mainstay would be motion graphics. That's right. Where we really, really thrive. So we are the perfect partner when, you know, you really have a nice asset library, but you don't necessarily know what to do with it, or your asset library feels really fatigued and you need to breathe new life without having to like go through a whole big studio shoot again and spending all the money. So just kind of putting together motion graphics. For some clients we do shoot, but I would say our main focus is motion graphics.
Right. It's nice to be able to repurpose a lot of the original assets that are going to be on the website already. And usually part of a product details page is there's multiple views with or without models. Sometimes there's a video showing the product, but it's nice to be able to take those original assets from their DAM, wherever their assets are housed. And then from there, I guess you just open up the creative space and say, okay, well, what can we do with this? What have you done in the past? And how can we leverage what you already have?
Absolutely. I think one thing that is so disheartening to hear from so many brands and teams is, you know, they open up this Dropbox file of just beautiful imagery that I know took time to create. It took time to find the right photographer, the right videographer. And they're like, oh, we don't have anything. We don't have anything to use. We need a whole new shoot. So really just, exactly. So like helping brands understand the potential of what they're sitting on. And although, you know, your catalog and your photo library looks really old to you, you know, to new people that you've yet to sell to, they've never seen them before. So really just helping breathe new life into all of that.
Very cool. So let's talk a little bit about the origin story. It's fascinating to me. I'm very fortunate being on this side of the microphone, but it's like everybody has a story. I always wonder why people choose the profession. You know, sometimes it's SaaS companies, and I know if it's a SaaS company, it's not just MRR, it's not just monthly recurring revenue. And that's how I want, you know, I just love that predictability of a subscription company. But then there's also the agency side where there's actually creative work involved, but you know, there's a performance side of your model too. I'm just curious about like, how did you guys come together to even consider having an agency? Like, where did this desire, I guess, or this expertise, where did it come from to build the Bidico company?
Yeah, so I worked at a few large agencies here in LA before starting the agency on our own. So that certainly helped in just getting a feel for how does it all work and, you know, dealing with clients and all that. But yeah, it was really around 2014 when we started, and Facebook ads were still quite new and people were trying to figure it out and didn't know exactly what to do, how it worked, but they were hearing about it and knew they should probably be looking into it. Really, Meredith's boss at the time kind of took me under his wing and was mentoring me, and he was a business coach. And just was seeing, you know, talking to his clients that, you know, hey, people need help with this and they don't know what they're doing. And he thought I'd be good at it. So yeah, that's kind of really where it started. And when he mentioned that, I was like, oh, I've been kind of just messing around with Facebook ads for the past couple of years, which is like a weird hobby, I guess, to have. But like even in college, you know, when I was graduating, I was trying to find a job. And so I was making Facebook ads targeting companies that I wanted to work at. So like Tom's Shoes and Patagonia, you could target, you know, people who work at these companies. You know, I made these cheesy ads with like a photo of my face and trying to get them, you know, trying to like linking to my resume or something. I don't know what I even linked to. So yeah, that was my first foray. Nobody hired me from the ads. It'd be a lot better story if they did, but that was kind of my first foray into everything.
And then how about you, Meredith? How did you get involved in this industry?
That is a great question. I initially hopped on to help Ben part-time. So I have a copywriting background. So I kind of come to the creative side from a copy angle. And at the time, you know, back then, that was all you needed was just great copy and a photograph. And that was a Facebook ad.
Couldn't even do video.
You couldn't even do video. So obviously a lot has changed since that point in time, but I kind of got hooked. I think that what's so unique about really this part of marketing is just how fast it goes and how there really is instant gratification in terms of seeing whether something's working or whether it's not. And we just kind of, as the platform grew, our creative side grew, and now it's, above and beyond with motion graphics and video and everything. That's how I got into it.
So there's the creative part of it. And then there's also, and you love to dig into the Facebook Ads Manager. Obviously, that's kind of your foray into Instagram and Facebook. It's interesting. There's some tools out there. I just, you know, I'm not necessarily asking for the secret sauce, but do you find that there are some opportunity out there, or do you use in-house, either wholly made in-house or third-party leverage to deal with like maybe the AI or the machine learning part of it? Because I know that there's definitely an AI component that's built into Facebook Ads Manager. Like they really do want to spend your money, but they want to spend it kind of the most efficiently as possible. Now, the ad creative definitely makes a difference in the conversion lift that you get out of it. But I'm just curious if there's any other external tools that are part of your toolbox to kind of help a brand. You can do great creative and we can get directly inside the Facebook Ads Manager. But is there anything else externally that helps, I guess, I almost put a brand a little bit above others because they're leveraging some other piece of technology?
Yeah, I mean, on the campaign side, there's really no magical button or tool that's just going to optimize campaigns and like make you get a six ROAS. We're primarily using just an ads manager itself. We use tools like Supermetrics, which helps you kind of like pipe in the data to, you know, like Google Sheets, and you can do some fun analysis and things there. We have a dashboard reporting tool we use for clients to make, you know, charts and historical metrics easier. But yeah, I mean, it really comes down to just the expertise of the team and the analysts and reading and interpreting data. You know, I guess Meredith can speak to the creative side more.
Yeah, I think, you know, creative, it's tricky because I don't really like to talk badly about softwares and platforms that make it easy for people to enter into creative. So I think for certain brands that have limited budgets and have limited hands when it comes to design and graphic design resources, I think Canva is a great tool. I think that Adobe Spark is a great tool. Do I think that they are the best? No, I think it really helps to have trained designers within After Effects who are really digging into the why, the motivation, the benefits of what's going to attract somebody to your product. But again, I think, you know, there's varying levels. I think if you're just getting started, it's good to, you know, maybe try Canva first. Get a sense of like, who is your brand? What does your brand want to say when it comes to ads? And then as you kind of grow up a little bit and get a little bit more traction under what you're doing, then kind of enlisting people who are a little bit more skilled within After Effects, freelancers within motion graphics and whatnot. But it's hard. There's varying budgets, and I think it's better to try than not to try at all. So
Yeah, 100%. And I'm totally with you. It kind of reminds me from the podcasting side. Well, for years, I was always editing my own show, you know, spending 3 to 4 hours for a 40-minute show. And yes, it was very detailed. And yes, it was awesome. And I learned a ton how to use a lot of these tools. But at the end of the day, it really was the best use of my time personally. I mean, I have a book of business at Shopify. I'm a full-time Shopify employee. Plus, I also have a significant side hustle with this podcast. And it's like, enough's enough. It's time to outsource to the right people. And I think that's kind of where you fit into the mix, where, you know, maybe there's those that are in their early stage of their maturity. And like, you know, you have to hustle and get involved with Canva or other tools and stuff. And just be inspired on Instagram and Facebook, what others are doing in your same vertical. And then from there, it's just like, you know, enough's enough. It's time to get some fresh eyes and some new perspective on what's exciting from a technology perspective, as the motion graphics, the After Effects, and all the different video tools and things that are available that are just pretty amazing, but all based on just your original photo shoot or original video footage that you've done on your iPhone kind of in the early days. There's value in all of that content. I'm sure you guys can repurpose it into something newer and fresher. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah, absolutely, Steve. I couldn't agree more.
Okay, awesome. So let's talk a little bit about Q4. I mean, the holiday season, I'm going to say it's around the corner, but it's actually not around the corner. I'd say many brands that I manage, they're actually starting right now, believe it or not. Here we are a few weeks away from BFCM. It's almost like the BFCM month almost. It's just kooky. Part of it, I think, is the supply chain problem. There's many containers sitting out, you know, out in the waters right now. No longshoremen, no truck drivers. There's lots of craziness. And then you're also hearing some challenges too with, you know, FedEx and UPS and United States Postal Service. People are saying, shop early. We're not completely slammed yet, but we're going to be slammed. So people are learning quickly that maybe I need to kind of either get out in store and buy what I need or buy it online now. Well, it's not too busy, right? So a lot of brands are starting early. What are you seeing on your end? Since you're kind of merchant facing and you're doing a lot of these top of funnel, these social ads, get people new customers, are you seeing anything specific, or is anything that you would recommend that a brand do today? If they use your service or not, are there any strategies or any tactics that you can share that you think are relevant kind of in our current climate right now?
Yeah, absolutely. I think creatively, one thing that we've seen is just in the types of sales that you're running, don't overthink it. I think a lot of brands want to get really fancy. They think that it matters. To be honest, we found that site-wide sales without codes are typically the most successful sales that you're going to run. So not to mess with tiered sales or gift with purchase, unless it is like a really epic gift with purchase. Yeah. Usually like simple works better. I would definitely say that. And then also to not, this is really specific to just Black Friday, Cyber Monday, but don't switch the promo. Mm-hmm. That kind of tags into the back end of just what's going on with iOS and, you know, having to really get more momentum behind your creative and your ads without switching them out. If you keep the promo the same for Black Friday, Cyber Monday, you've got a much better chance of seeing success with your ads.
Yeah. And a lot of our clients, when they first sent over their kind of calendars, they kind of were the opposite. You know, they had a different sale every day and we had to talk through that with them. You know, and I'm seeing a lot of articles right now saying, hey, you know, Black Friday, do this sale, and Saturday, do this sale, and Sunday, do a different sale. I mean, it makes sense from an email perspective. You know, you want to have something different maybe to say each day. So that might be the reason. But from an ads perspective, that's probably the worst thing you could do over that time period, just because there's really no way for your ads to gain momentum, to get traction, to really get going. Because by the time your ads really kind of get moving and grooving, the day's over, your sale's done, and you got to start over. So from an ads perspective, again, just keep it simple. 20% off, 25% off site-wide sale, run it Black Friday through Cyber Monday. And that's going to probably be a lot easier on you and your team and a lot of less headache. Probably going to perform better overall.
One thing I'd add too, comes up quite a bit with brands that they are driving traffic either with current ads, organic, word of mouth, whatever the vehicle is that gets people to their website, with a 2 or 3% conversion rate. 95, 97% of the customers are just leaving. And I'm telling people right now, like, now's the time. We've probably done it months ago, but you should have maybe push notifications turned on, so at least getting that push opt-in, thinking about exit intent or some kind of modal or pop-up of some sort. This is more on-page things of existing traffic, but like getting an SMS opt-in, or, you know, using a tool like Gatsby to get the social footprint, like, you know, get the Instagram handle opt-in so you can see how big they are, like from a social influence perspective. There's so many interesting tools out there that I think if you thought about it now, and you still have time right now, if it doesn't have direct impact over BFCM, at least the massive amount of traffic is going to be happening. You're getting opt-ins, you're getting SMS and emails, you're getting them into, and this is an asset for your company that could be leveraged post-BFCM.
Absolutely. I know you're asking the question, Steve, but I'm curious, what's Gatsby?
Well, Gatsby.ai is a tool, and I interviewed Brett, I don't know, maybe a couple months ago, but it's a really neat tool that it works basically in tandem with Klaviyo. And so Klaviyo is kind of the most popular kind of email marketing platform for Shopify brands, along with OmniSend. I want to make sure that I throw them out there too. They are a great tool. But these two softwares connect really, really tightly with Gatsby. And all Gatsby does is they're connected with the API directly to Instagram and Facebook. So they allow for the Instagram handle to be the opt-in, along with a potentially a phone number or an email. You can choose the modal and type of pop-ups, but it all works in conjunction. The value that a brand owner gets is that the pop-up, instead of like, hey, give me your email address for 10% off or some kind of VIP coupon, instead of doing just that, if you use the Gatsby tool, then all of a sudden you get to understand the social footprint of your site visitor. They're not necessarily a customer yet. And then from there, they have access in the back office to be able to decide, well, how do I want to work with this person? You could create filters and saying, hey, if they have between 5,000 and 50,000 followers, I think there might be an opportunity here that I might want to work with them. And I think a lot of brands forget that there's a lot of people who don't shop with you yet, might shop with you, but if you were somehow able to reach out to them, imagine social ads, another great example where there is a connection with that. You can create social ads to find new influencers thanks to Gatsby, because you've looked at the social footprint of Facebook and Instagram and going, if they're a customer or not, you understand the tagged, logged in kind of experience, but then you can choose to have almost like a retargeting ad going directly to that influencer and saying, hey, we see you show up on our website and blah, blah, blah. There's so many different opportunities out there, but Gatsby.ai.
Very cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, really neat tool. Anything else about Gatsby, or should we push on?
I don't know. No, just curious. Always looking for new tools and apps and everything to check out and recommend to folks. So yeah.
Listen to my show, my friend, like two shows a week. I learn so much from these tools that are connecting to Shopify and some of the amazing things they're doing. So let's talk about competition, because my frame of thought is that, you know, where there's competition, there's business. And I know this with the size of Shopify entrepreneurs. I mean, gosh, I don't know how many, it's almost 2 million. I think 1.7 million and plus all the Shopify Plus brands. You know, I think we're nearing 2 million stores at some point. And so knowing that, I wondered if you could kind of talk about other peers in your space and kind of how has the Bidico team been like intentionally differentiated from others? Because it's so easy to see some of the quote unquote bigger players in the marketplace. And I know that you're more of a smaller, more nimble and focused team. So I just would love to understand a little more about the intentionality behind your company.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, yeah, like you said, there's almost 2 million Shopify brands. Probably feels like there's 2 million Shopify agencies sometimes.
And maybe.
I know like merchants get cold emailed all the time and, you know, skip barrage with the outreach and everything else. So yeah, I mean, we're certainly not the only performance marketing agency that is out there. And like you said, you know, there's a lot of big ones. And I think, you know, speaking to size, I think that is one of our advantages. You know, most of the go-to agencies in the space, they're 100 and 200 people. They've got 250 to 400 clients. And they've grown really, really fast, which, you know, kudos to them because it must be doing well. But we kind of see that the faster agency grows, the faster their quality usually goes down. And, you know, we see a lot of these agencies go from, you know, 30 people to a couple hundred people in a couple of years. And unfortunately, like an agency can be a great business. We don't have a lot of the headaches and, you know, cost of goods and other things that e-com brands have. But it's also a lot harder to scale an agency because it's completely reliant on people. You know, we can scale one of our clients. We can 4 or 5x their revenue in, you know, 2 months. And that's amazing. But if Bidico does that, it'd be horrible for everybody, including our staff and our clients. So I think we're at a really nice sweet spot in size where, you know, our clients, they're not client 157 out of 362. You know, you're really one of just a couple dozen that we're, you know, really intentionally focusing on and spending actually meaningful time on your account, thinking about, we're not a volume shop. We're trying to have fewer clients than more, honestly. So it's just a different way to approach things. You know, certainly bigger agency can be better for some brands, but we're kind of finding our setup works for us and the brands that are attracted to us.
I think I'd add to that too, I think, is that, you know, from what I understand about Bidico is the fact that you just do paid traffic. You know, you're not getting involved in the email, you're not doing SEO, you're not doing conversion rate optimization. There's a lot of jobs, quote unquote, jobs to be done for sure when it comes to running an e-commerce store, for sure. But I think you're intentionally focusing on top of funnel and just amazing ad creative and then being responsible and accountable for the ROAS that's deserved to be for that brand.
Absolutely. I'm an entrepreneur. A lot of people listening to this are probably entrepreneurs. It's really hard to stay focused. It's been so, so hard to stay focused on just doing one thing and one service for, you know, the past 6-7 years. But yeah, we've just really tried to do that and be focused on paid traffic, performance marketing. You know, we've had clients ask us to, you know, do their email and other things, and we've had to just keep saying no, which is really hard to do. But, you know, we're trying to really just be the best at this one thing. And, you know, that can take us quite a bit further.
I think too, with in terms of, you know, what a huge differentiator for us is really the creative. I think we do things very, very differently over at Bidico when it comes to creative. It is very comprehensive and a little overwhelming, I know, when brands sign on with us. We just really dig in very, very deep. I think it makes a huge difference to understand really, you know, what's the brand origin story, to understand the products, what are the benefits, who is your audience. And then from there, we build creative out that really just amplifies the beautiful brand that all of these founders and entrepreneurs have spent a lot of time to create. I think what we hear all the time when people come is, oh my gosh, like, we want them to perform, but we want them to feel like our brand. And, you know, we can't find where that line is, because a lot of times people get into business with somebody who makes ads that feel really salesy. They don't have that beautiful, elegant nuance that, again, you've spent a lot of time creating within your branding. And then the other time, too, you've got people who are creating these gorgeous, ethereal-looking, beautiful ads that don't sell anything. And so it's finding that line, I think, because because we have our feet in both camps, you know, we are managing campaigns and we create so much creative that we have a really good handle on how to combine your beautiful branding, but also with strategies that help drive conversions.
Right. Well, that's great. Thank you so much for sharing that. So I want to talk about a story now because I think it's really motivational for me. I know for sure those listening, they love to hear a story because they like to put themselves kind of in the hero's journey a little bit and just saying, hey, you know, that could be me too. You know, maybe with my brand, that could happen to me. And so I think it's just very educational. I think it's inspirational. And hopefully I don't put you on the spot here, but it'd be great if you could, you know, maybe share a journey of a Shopify brand that you have worked with or currently work with. I just would love to understand their journey. Where were they kind of before Bitty Co? How did they find you? Like, what was their need? What was their pain point? And then what sort of campaigns did you execute on? And then are you able to share just either generally or specifically kind of like what sort of success came out on the other end?
Yeah. So let's see. One that comes to mind is a brand. They've since renamed themselves, but they used to be called Cosbox. They're now called All True. And we worked with them for a number of years. We don't work with them anymore, but I'd say that was probably the most exciting ride we've been on because, you know, they came to us. They'd worked with a couple agencies in the past. I think they worked with three agencies, you know, worked okay. Didn't work that well with others. And they came to us and the founders had taken it back themselves. You know, they're managing a complicated business, also doing the ads, not a great use of their time.
Can I explain quickly what it is?
Oh, yeah, please.
Oh, yeah.
Good idea.
I'm at alltrue.com right now having a look.
Yeah, for sure. For everyone listening, what it is it's really just a curated subscription box. So it's a quarterly curated subscription box with consciously created goods. So, you know, any given quarter, you're going to get a beautiful scarf or a tote bag, all with a real social mission. They have done just such an unbelievable job of creating, you know, brand partnerships with some really beautiful consumer good brands. So, sorry, continue, Ben.
No, keep going. That was perfect. Thanks for checking
in. Ben, back to you.
So, yeah, great context because, yeah, it's just a logistically very intensive business. Every quarter, they're sourcing brand new products, and their product completely changes every quarter. So the founders are like, we have to get out of doing ads because we've got so many other things to be worrying about, which probably sounds familiar to you. So, yeah, we stepped in, and, you know, they were a team of four when we started working with them and spending, you know, probably 10, 20, 30K, $30,000 per month on ads. And over about 2 years working with them, you know, they grew to a team of 45 from four. We more than 10X'd their subscriber base, you know, paying subscriber base. They raised funding. I don't think it's public how much they raised, but, you know, substantial amount of funding. So just really transformed the business. We were just spending a ton of money. Certain days we were spending basically buying a car each day and ad spend is pretty insane. So just rides like that where, you know, the numbers are cranking, everything's working, you know, you're texting each other back and forth and things are moving fast. A super fun one because, yeah, I mean, the products were amazing. They're socially conscious. They were great for the environment. They were promoting some really special, you know, and small brands too. So that one just felt really good. Every grabber you got, it just felt good. And just seeing a small business really succeed.
Yeah, this is lovely. And I'm actually looking at their Instagram feed right now, and I'm sure that you had a lot to do with what I see here today. And it's very impressive and very on brand when I go to their homepage and have a look. Actually, even Sheena Brady, who works for Shopify, was a lead at Shopify here. And she has a company, she's a tea sommelier. She has a company called Tea's Tea, and she's one of the founders. And I see that she's actually even on their Instagram feed. So this is really cool. Thanks for sharing that. So how did it all flush out in the end? Any kind of aha moment at the end of kind of working with them and maybe in lieu of the other agency partners that they had in the past came on board with you folks? And then kind of what happened on the other end?
Yeah. So I don't think this is what the turnaround was, like a total game changer, but just kind of a funny anecdote that did help with performance. But there was one video where a woman on their team, I recorded a video kind of talking about some of the products that we were using. And it was kind of a unique shirt that she was wearing. And I don't know. I don't think it was
anything. It was a great shirt. Hannah wore a great shirt.
I don't think there was anything particularly weird about the shirt. But in the comments,
the shirt went viral.
People were just going crazy. Some people hated the shirt. Other people were defending the shirt. And it just turned into
shirt
this,
gate.
Shirt gate. It just snowballed. And, I mean, there was, like, thousands of comments and people going back and forth. And it just showed the, like, power of, one, controversy, but two, just engagement in your ads and getting people talking and giving something to talk about. Even if it, you know, they weren't selling that shirt. But that ad did really well just because the click-throughs were insane. The engagement was great. There were so many comments. So maybe that's my takeaways by wearing shirt and wearing your ads. But yeah, that was just one funny thing we found.
Yeah, that's lovely. So if someone makes a choice and they're saying, hey, you know what, I've kind of exhausted my creative abilities and I really do want to hire an agency. And, you know, they're listening to this episode right now and thinking, hey, wait a sec, is there a possibility that maybe I can have you folks take over your top of funnel? You're just driving net new visitors. Like, what's the onboarding and process? Because I know you mentioned, hey, it's kind of laborious or lots of things and branding and like a lot of stuff that I think you need to get ahead of time. Can you walk us through just maybe the Coles Notes or the Cliff Notes version of kind of what could somebody expect if they make the choice to want to onboard with you folks?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the big thing, how we approach really creative partners is we are coming on to amplify what you've already created. So I always say in that intro call, I am not here to rebrand you. You've already done that. I am not here to come up with a whole new dictionary for the way you speak about your brand. I'm here to take what you've created. And when you're scrolling through your newsfeed and you see your ads, I want you to feel proud. I want you to feel excited that A, you chose Bitty Co. to work with, but B, that like your brand is this beautiful representation of what you set out to build. So the first thing is that we're just super thoughtful. We come on really as a partner and we want to be a part of the team. So we take a lot of time to really, really dig in and just understand, you know, why? Like, why should somebody buy this product? I always say we stalk you all over the internet. We ask you a dozen of questions that range from, you know, what is the nitty gritty that we aren't going to know that you don't like, whether it's white space or you want all images to be full bleed or, you know, whatever that is. And then really the more foundational questions, like not to be corny, but like, what's the why? You know, why should people care? Why is someone going to buy this? Why is someone going to look at this brand versus your competitor? So the boring answer is it's a lot of worksheets, I guess you could say, with like questions. And then we have calls and a lot of back and forth. But I do think that it's that extra homework that my team does that really sets the creative apart.
I think it's that intentional space to pause for a minute, because I know entrepreneurs and founders, you know, not that they're running on a hamster wheel, but there's a lot of stuff and wearing a lot of hats. If you can take the intentional space of a few hours to kind of really understand and analyze what got you here isn't, it's kind of cliche, but what got you here isn't going to get you there and wherever that is continuing up. And if you take the intentional time to pause, think about your brand. Yeah, you know, you're not going to rebrand it, but can we leverage what we have? Let's understand your brand. Why are we buying from you? And then, as you said, how are you differentiating to others? And can we highlight and position that accordingly in ads that people say, and that's their aha moment, and that's the reason for taking action, is based on understanding the brand. It's hard because the founder knows the brand, but they're kind of, they lost in the forest for the trees, so to speak, where you come in, it's like, boom, no, let's understand it. And then that's really cool. I really think that's a great way of onboarding someone. So we are nearing the end of the show, but I really want to think about and ask a little more about the future of Bitty Co. You mentioned you've been very intentional for the last, I don't know, 7-ish years, top of funnel. Are you able to talk about your North Star, I guess, getting into 2022 and beyond? I'm just curious about like any partner alignment or like growth plans, other verticals. Are you getting involved in, I'm just thinking out loud here, are you getting involved in CBD and regulated markets or alcohol? Like there's all these different things that are very unique when it comes to social ads. I'm just curious where you're going to put your flag in the sand.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the short answer is just keep kind of doing what we've been doing. You know, we're looking to stay focused and sustainably grow. You know, speaking to what we were talking about earlier, I don't imagine we'll add any new services. So keep me accountable and make me keep saying no. But anyway, we're really just looking to, you know, find more clients who have great products that we can feel good about, you know, promoting and getting into people's hands. You brought up CBD. Yeah. I mean, we have one or two CBD clients. If you asked me a year ago, I would have said like, yeah, that's going to be a huge category. We found it can be successful, but it's just so much more work. So that probably won't be a huge area for us. You know, I think the biggest new addition will be the more the creative only side, which we mentioned. You know, a year ago, that was probably 2% of our business, and now it's about 20% of our business. So for brands that are running, you know, the media side in-house or have a team or the founder wants to keep doing it, but really have a creative bottleneck, you know, their designers are busy doing email campaigns or working on the side, or they don't have any designers. People are seeing more and more that the creative is the differentiator, and, you know, it's what a potential customer sees as they're scrolling through their feed. And if you don't say the right things, they're going to keep scrolling. And if you don't hold their interest, they're not going to click through to your site. So creative only and helping brands get conversion focused creative, you know, will certainly be a bigger piece next year.
And one thing I think about too is like, how do you become the natural choice for your customers, right? And I think staying in your lane is important. This podcast, not about me, but you know, the podcast has been doing so well, like just beyond my expectations, like tens of thousands of people listen to episode every week. It blows my mind. But part of it is the fact that I don't talk about the entrepreneurial journey. You know, I talk about what agency and SaaS founders are doing to help Shopify brands to grow and scale. Like, what specifically are you doing with a piece of software that connects to Shopify? Or if you're an agency partner like you are, that takes care of, in your case, top of funnel, net new visitors with awesome creative and understands their brand story. I mean, knowing what you do, that's why you're going to continue going down your lane and do so well. And that's why I think you should be the natural choice in that area. Because, you know, we talk about these larger agency partners. I don't want to discredit them at all, but they are a Swiss Army knife of all things digital marketing. That doesn't necessarily make them great. That just makes them a wide net that's being cast out there. I wouldn't be surprised for a lot of churn for employees inside larger organizations too, versus, you know, probably as opposite what's going on in the culture that you built inside your company.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of, you know, jack of all trades, masters of none, that old kind of quote, you know, trying to be the opposite of that as much as
yeah.
we can.
Well, that's lovely. So let's talk about how people can learn more. I mean, we've talked a lot about your services, but you know, like, where do you want to direct your traffic today? Those listening, like, where should they go and what sort of things would you like to offer the listeners today? We kind of mentioned a little bit at the beginning of the show about some ad creative, but just curious on kind of where you want to leave off for the end of the show today.
Yeah, so we actually put together, yeah, I know we've been talking about creative over and over, but this is audio, so no one really has an idea of what we're talking about. Yeah. So if you're interested to see some of the ads we've made, you know, ads that we're seeing perform well right now, we made a deck with a bunch of examples of different creative we put together for a lot of different Shopify brands. You can get that at bidico.com. That's bidyco.com/Fastlane, so that we know you came from Steve, and that's how you can find the deck and request access for that.
Beautiful. Well, thank you for that. I think that'll be really inspirational. I'm looking forward to seeing it myself. Like I mentioned, I have a book of business too, and they're always trying to, how do I drive some net new visitors? And I've proven it, that really is, it's understanding the brand and then creating some really interesting, unique, creative. Always be testing, and not everything's going to be like a home run, but it's just, it's the iteration and just keep going and keep pushing through. And I just appreciate that. And the fact that you've intentionally chosen to be more of a smaller agency, but more focused specifically and more intentional. I just really appreciate that. So thanks, you know, Meredith and Ben. Thank you so much really for coming on the show today. Thanks for, I'd say, putting your flag in the Shopify sand, so to speak. You know, I look at some of the brand logos that are on your homepage. It's very clear that there's a lot of direct-to-consumer brands that you've had the opportunity to work with over the years and take a small part of their success based on some of the creative work that you've put together. And just wanted to thank you for helping those brands. And thank you for anybody listening today. If you want to take up Ben and Meredith up for their offer, yeah, check out their website, bidico.com, and then check out this ad creative. But yeah, thanks both for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much, Steve. This has been so fun. I know now, yeah, I'm like looking forward to going back into the backlog of episodes to, to listen to way more.
There's a lot to learn. All right. Well, you both have a great afternoon, and thanks again for coming on the show.
Thanks, Steve.
Awesome. Thank you.
Now, this episode was brought to you by the team at Rewind. The common myth is that Shopify has a backup that you can use when something goes wrong with your store. The truth is they don't. So what do? You use Rewind to protect your store with automated backups. The Rewind app should be the first thing you install to protect your store against human error, misbehaving apps, or even collaborators gone bad. It's like having your very own magic undo button. It's trusted by over 100,000 businesses, large and small. So enjoy peace of mind and install the Rewind app today. And make sure to respond to any of their welcome emails and mention the e-commerce Fastlane podcast, and you'll get your first month absolutely free. Learn more by checking out Rewind in the Shopify App Store or by visiting rewind.com. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you, a loyal listener of e-commerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, launch, grow, and scale with Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.